the coach is there to partner with the client to find their own way. For coaching, you're looking for that balance of, they made me in that chemistry session think about something I hadn't thought of before.
Welcome to the Wait and Speak podcast. I'm your host, Raquel White. In this episode, I speak with Felicity Hodkinson, an experienced International Coaching Federation credentialized coach. Felicity works with individuals at all stages and transitions of their working life. We discussed how coaching can unlock previously untapped sources of imagination, productivity, and leadership. Without further ado, here's the interview. Felicity, welcome on the Wait and Speak podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Felicity, we're here to talk about all things coaching, and you're a certified professional coach. Please tell us a bit more about the coaching work that you do, and how did you become involved in coaching?
Which one to start with? So I think let's start with the how I became involved in coaching first. I was lucky enough in an organization I worked for many years ago now, a big retail organization, that they were training up some of their leaders to also be coaches as role models within the business. So I was lucky that it was included as part of my day job, and I was trained as a coach and also was able to work with individuals on their leadership development as a coach. So that was how I started. And now, as I work as an independent coach, I have two key types of work. I work with individuals who are grappling with some kind of transition. Now, that might be work-based or it might be life-based. So it might be a career change, some kind of progression, a promotion, or seeking a promotion. Or it might be somebody who is just going in a big life transition, somebody who's becoming a working mother for the first time, somebody who is changing countries, might be another big one. They have a habit, transitions of shaking us up a little bit, and we lose sight of who we are. So the work we tend to do is to help somebody anchor back to their own values, their own sense of self, so that they can make decisions and move forward from that. It strengthens not just who they are, but who they are with others as well, and enables them to flow through that transition more easily. So that's one type of work. And then the other type of work I'm really interested in is to work with pairs. So I also do work with pairs who want to build both elasticity and sustainability into their workplace relationship. These tend to be really key critical relationships within a business. So it might be a pair of co-founders, or it might be two senior executives, where everybody is looking to them for how to be in this organization, because their relationship becomes like the role model for how others are. And they want their relationship to be a real catalyst for the culture in their business. So we work on not just who they are, but who they are together, and what that ripple effect is out to the rest of the organization. So that's another piece of work that I really love doing when I'm coaching.
So it sounds like from those two elements, helping people manage change is the one almost stream, if I could call it that, and the other area is managing those work relationships, and then with the rest of the organization. That sounds good. And Felicity, then obviously there's different perspectives on what coaching entails or how to define it. But I like what the ICF mentioned. They talk about coaching as unlocking previously untapped sources of imagination, productivity, and leadership. Please tell us more. What is coaching? What is professional coaching to you? What does it entail? And how could people benefit from working with a coach?
Yeah, it's a lovely definition, that, isn't it? Unlocks previously untapped sources of imagination. And I think that's fundamentally what coaching does. It helps you go beyond where you could go on your own. And there's something about the way you work with a coach that allows you to see possibilities that you couldn't see before. I think the professional piece is becoming important. There's a lot of people talk about a coach and coaching, but they go, well, what is that? And how do I know what is professional? The professional for me is a little bit less about the who and the where and the where of the client. It's more about how the coach conducts themselves. And for the ICF, it's one of the core values, professionalism. So it's about the coaching mindset and the professional quality that encompasses responsibility, respect, integrity, competence, and excellence. And there's something about working, the professionalism for me is about working with congruence to the set of competencies and ethics that put the client at the heart of the work. So the coach is there to partner with the client to find their own way. The coach is not there to advise, to mentor, to therapize the client's sort of history. And it really is about creating safety for the client and the coach in service of the purpose of the coaching goal of the client. And potentially as well, if there is an organizational contract, also what is in service of the organization. So it's being able to hold those two things in balance. So the professionalism really comes back down to adherence and congruence with core competencies and ethics of the professional body that you affiliate with. Now, there was something else you asked. I think it was who could benefit from working from a coach. So many possibilities there. I think it's a curiosity. It's just like it's more obvious perhaps in the workplace to go, oh, I have this challenge. I could do this better. I could do this more of. I'm striving for a promotion. So I think those create reasons. I think other reasons are I just want more or less of something in my life. You know, I've noticed I'm in a pattern. I have these recurring challenges and I'd like to break that pattern. It might be that you're asking yourself big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What is this life about? Again, that's another good reason to go, well, a coach can help you explore that in a creative way. There may be something around the pair work I do. It's like, who are we together? What is our relationship? So that might be within life or it might be within the workplace. So there are so many different possibilities of when you could choose to work with a coach. To know when to choose somebody is like, ah, I've noticed I can't get any further. What I do on my own is not enough to get me where I want to go. And that's the point, I think, to go, well, who can I reach out to that goes beyond a friend or a family member who can help me go further to where I want to get to?
Felicity, building on that, I'd like to hear more about the types of tools and frameworks coaches use as one question, but then also once applying those, what's the typical coaching engagement? What does it look like in terms of timing? Let's say there's a specific issue you're helping someone with as a coach. How do you structure that support? Is there a specific endpoint? How do you manage that? So two questions in one there.
If I start with the first in terms of frameworks, this is like the $1 million question because it's so different depending on the coach. So what's probably most important is that each coach adopts frameworks that are congruent with their philosophy and purpose. So a coach might have a Gestalt philosophy. They might embrace positive psychology. They might have a belief that they work existentially with their questioning. They might have an NLP background, transactional analysis, thinking environment, systemic, solution focus. So those are just a few. So I think coaches typically gravitate into working with something that has potentially worked well for them in their life. They've had a felt or known experience of it and go, this feels congruent with my values, what I believe in, what feels like purposeful work. So they will adopt the frameworks and methods from that approach. And I think when you're looking to work with a coach, that's what needs to be explored. But we'll come on to that. We'll come on to that later. So what every coach, I think, does have in common is their skill set of being able to create and maintain purpose for the coaching, to listen deeply, to evoke awareness with questions, observation, feedback, to have an ability to facilitate the client towards the changes that they are seeking. So within that, they then draw on the frameworks which are congruent with their approach and their philosophy and their purpose. And that'll be, they might tweak it with like, oh, for this client, this is what feels appropriate in the moment. For this client in this situation, I'm going to draw on that. And often, you know, and I'm one of these, I draw on techniques from from different models. That's partly because I'm a coach who likes variety. So I like to adventure and have that variety of how I work. And that's what stimulates me. And therefore I will think about what will be most effective to offer clients depending on what they are working on. So that was, I think, no clear-cut answer to that one, Rekua, but hopefully a broader answer. What was part two of the question?
The first part was around the frameworks, and the second part was around the timing. How long do you engage with a client? I assume it depends on a specific ask, and then maybe there's something new that develops on a new ask, how you manage that, kind of to define an endpoint to the session.
Yeah, I think there are, you've said that, you've expressed that well. It's like, what is the ask of the coaching? What is the purpose of the coaching? It might be different for somebody who is onboarding into an organization who goes, right, in the first 3 months, I want to make sure I land well and I demonstrate my leadership. So in that case, you might be working every 2 weeks or even every week for the first 3 months. For somebody who is perhaps working towards a promotion, you might go, right, we are working together for 9 to 12 months and we're going to work monthly. So there is a different cadence to that kind of work. And I was talking with a coach yesterday who works with small business owners. And we were reflecting that sometimes those are longer contracts that might be for three to five years while you work with that business owner on a monthly basis or every 2 months, to be that point of space for reflection, to be that time away for reorientating you towards your business. So that might be a longer term contract. So it really does depend on what is the work, what is the purpose that the client is bringing, and then what is appropriate for that. So that gets discussed with the client in that sort of chemistry session or in the first session of working together. It's like, what is the appropriate length and what is the rhythm that is suitable for the change that you want to create?
You talk about chemistry there. How can listeners go about finding the right coach, and what should they look for?
I think in the first instance, there's the practicality of actually finding somebody. So, you know, the top tips would be to ask your friends and ask your family, ask your peers, you know, have they worked with somebody? What would they like to work with? How did they work with them? And start to find out that way. And ask for a referral. So that's one good way to start. The second is to go on to the ICF website and to use the coach finder. So you can then type in different requirements, where you want them to be geographically, the language that they speak, the kind of work that they do, and it'll give you a list of coaches. Then is the tricky part, is to sort of give yourself a short list of three and to send them an invitation, say, I'd like to meet with you and have a chemistry session. The chemistry sessions are free. So it's like, this is your chance to find out how that coach works. You want to know, well, what's their approach? What kind of clients have they worked with? What are their fees? How will you know it's working? How will you know you're getting what you want? And there is something about, when we talk about chemistry, it's all like, we know when we click with somebody. We know, but what is that? It's like the sort of the magic, isn't it? It's what feels true for you. And I think for coaching, you're looking for that balance of, they made me in that chemistry session think about something I hadn't thought of before. They're already helping you to think or experience something slightly different. You get a feel for that. It's like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. So that's one thing to look out for. The second is to look out for that you feel that you can say something that is quite true to you, that might make you feel a bit vulnerable, that you feel safe enough. Is that safety there for you? And then, do you feel sufficiently challenged? There's this sort of like, if you're too safe, you're in the duvet zone and you're snuggled up and it's cozy, and that's not where growth occurs. So you need to be sufficiently in the challenge. You need to be sufficiently sort of uncomfortable so that you know that you are going to grow. And that's an important thing. So those would be the three things. I think when you're looking for that chemistry, then you go, yes, this is the coach I want to work with.
Those criteria definitely make me think, no, how can you ultimately benefit from coaching? It's no use. You're in the duvet zone and it doesn't do anything. And Felicity, then on the opposite side, what advice would you give to someone interested in becoming a coach, be that within the organization or potentially in the future as their own business?
I think just start to get curious about two things. Get curious about you and what is it that interests you about coaching? What attracts you to it? What do you believe about coaching? And why do you believe you will be good at it? So I think get curious about you. And then the second is get curious about the lived experiences of coaches. So meet and talk to coaches, listen to podcasts, read about it and find out. But I think nothing beats a conversation with a coach to go, tell me what you love about it. Tell me what's difficult. Tell me what's challenging. It's a very different experience being a coach in an organization like when I started, where people were just given to me to work with. All I had to do was turn up and coach them, which was fantastic. I had to be much more aware of the internal ethical boundaries of coaching. So I might know them. I might meet them in the corridor. How would we deal with that? What might happen if our paths crossed at some point? How to maintain confidentiality? What did confidentiality really mean for both of us as part of that safety building? So that was one thing. I think then secondly, when you start to move outside of the business and I work independently, the differences are such that you've got to then market your business. You've got to do your finances around the business. You've got to find the clients. You've got to do all of the admin around that. So it becomes a very different type of work. You're not just coaching. Coaching is part of what you do, but not all of what you do. So I think those are the realities to understand what model might be right for you.
Felicity, thinking about technology and AI coaching, what role do you see for technology and how do you think it might influence the future of coaching, thinking longer term as things evolve?
I was thinking about that because we can see how AI is already starting to play a role in coaching. So you can have AI that supports your admin infrastructure as a coach, things which automate and therefore make it give you back time to spend more time coaching. So that is a simple one. It's also giving coaches tools to use with clients. I know a coach who does virtual reality headset coaching. So you're both jumping into the space together. You don't have to be in the same room anymore, but you can still be in the same space through virtual reality. That's one example of the tools. I think there's then the possibility that it, from a coaching perspective, you'll be able to use AI for your own development. So that might be you will be recording your sessions and listening back, and AI will give you the feedback against, for example, the ICF core competencies to go, these are the points that you can develop on. This is where you did well in this session. So all sorts of things which will come down that route, some of which are starting to appear already. And then I think from an industry perspective, we've had apps around for a while, but we're now seeing things like AICoach.chat, which is a web-based interface where you type in, you know, the challenge that you've got and the AI comes back with the questions. It gives you reassurance. It does all of those things. I was testing it out last week. And you conclude your session and it books you in for the next session and it'll come back with a reminder to say, yes, you're working on this and so. That becomes a free, low-cost way of coaching yourself. That makes it more accessible. So I think it's influencing accessibility in the industry. But I think the question it makes us that many of us are aware of is the ethics. Where is information held? What are the standards and sources and beneath some of the tools that are being used? What about confidentiality? How does the client ensure that files aren't held beyond a certain time? All of those kind of things which are towards that professionalism of the industry and making sure that only those who were supposed to listen to it listen to it, I think are key. But imagine a future where if we're doing typing in web-based interface, you can imagine a future where that becomes a voice, where you speak and you get a voice back. And then you can imagine a future, can't you, where it's a person or an imitation of a person, and you're having that interaction. So it will look and feel very, very similar to what we have now, if you're working online over Zoom or another platform.
It sounds like there's opportunity to enhance coaching, there's opportunity to broaden access to coaching, but then obviously the ethical side of things, I think with most technologies, that needs to be kept in mind. Okay. Well, Felicity, thank you so much for speaking with me today. It's been a real pleasure. Very helpful. I think it will be very helpful for the audience to know more about coaching and get involved, either getting a coach themselves or maybe for those interested in participating as a coach. So very, very useful. And thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, it's been a pleasure as well. So thank you very much for setting this up and giving me the chance to spread the word about coaching.
And that's a wrap for this episode. Thank you so much for listening.